Good and Heavenly Father, we praise and honor and laud thy name in this morning. Thou art so good to us, Father, given us rest, and we all have arisen from our beds, and thou hast brought us here, Father, and we have a common desire to serve thee in this day, and we ask, Father, that we would give our all, and that we, Father, would lift up voices and hearts and prayers and joy and gladness unto thee, our God in the heavens above, who supplies with all things. Lord, we have nothing of ourselves. We came naked into this world. We're going to leave this world naked. Help us, Father, to be diligent while we are here. We pray for thy blessings over the Jocko family and all, Father, who have new additions to their families, Danielle and Michael, as they begin their life. And, Father, all who are suffering in sickness and trials and temptations, whatever they go through, whatever the circumstance, we know that thou art the God of miracles. And we submit ourselves unto thee now in this time. And we pray for thy blessings over this servant and over us all. In Jesus' name, amen. It's my desire to turn to the book of Numbers, to chapter number 13. I'd like to read part of chapter number 13 and part of chapter number 14. I'd like to begin reading at 26th verse out of 13. And we'll read up into the 10th verse from chapter number 14. Numbers 13, beginning at verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." And all the people sat, and all the people that saw it, we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to enter to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel.
Thank you.
thinking a little bit about what Brother Joe had preached about yesterday about obstacles, and considering God's word that we have before us in this morning hour, obstacles are commonplace in our lives, and we have to suffer through them many times. And we know some are greater, and some are smaller. Some suffer much more heavier obstacles than some of us. We have some that lose their spouses, and they have children, and some have sicknesses, some have trials, even as we have heard this morning, an unknown of a possible death. Danielle and Michael, they went through what we would probably count as some suffering for them for about 19 months. Being separate, there was only one visit that they had, but nonetheless, thank God that they had WhatsApp and they were able to see each other. But nonetheless, what they had thought would be 6 to 9 months for a spousal, or rather a fiancé visa, turned into be a 19-month ordeal for them. Brother Ben mentioned this morning in the Bible study about practicing and about endurance. Some things need to be practiced more so that we can overcome feats that we need to go through while we're in this life. And that just touched me this morning to think about that. When we go through these kind of things, and when we have these kind of obstacles, and when we see circumstances in our life that we come to, it drives us to God. And this is the whole idea of God. Even the giving that we talked about this morning, that it really is something that drives us to God, right? Because all that we have is from Him, and all of our sustenance and all that we have comes from God. And so if we're willing to let God work in our lives and to have that sacrifice that was mentioned this morning in our lives, and to be able to sacrifice and to give of ourselves, to be all into something so that we can perform, there needs to be some kind of sacrifice. But some sacrifices take practice, and we can think of those long-distance runners that might have been mentioned this morning, not being able to get up off of a couch and just go and run a marathon. It takes months of practice to be able to have the endurance to do those kind of things. When we look at these people here, when we think of Caleb, and when we think of Joshua, and when we think of the situation that happened here, these men's names and the things that they accomplished in their lives are renowned. These are things that people have rehearsed for thousands of years. The name of Caleb, the name of Joshua. There's others. There's David, the lion and the bear killer, the Goliath killer. These are men. These are literal men that dealt with giants. We can see that later on, Caleb, what he was gifted with. To even go on to conquer the giants after, when he was given his inheritance. But these men were men of renown. We don't go back and we don't hear, although it was recorded, we don't hear people say, "Oh, you remember Shaphat, the son of Hori? You remember him?" Or these Gaddai, the son of Sodi. We don't see people reminding each other of the other 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. We are focused on the ones that were active and busy in the work of God. And that was our dear Caleb and Joshua. These were men of renown. These are the ones that stand out. And we have an opportunity also, brothers and sisters, as we go and we are tried through the obstacles that we must go through, and there are different obstacles, again, we can give God the glory by trusting in Him. See, the people of Israel, they lost it out there because they were looking at one half of the story and they weren't looking at the other half of the story. The half of the story that they looked at was, in this particular, they were murmurers since they left Egypt. So they forgot many of the things that God had done. You know, they saw the plagues, he brought them out, soon they complained, they got to the Red Sea. And we know all of those beautiful things that God had done for the children of Israel, though they murmured. Our God is a patient and loving God. And I believe anyone here who loves God and who understands him and wants to have communion with him can understand and know that he's a very patient. I know he's very patient with me. And so he was patient with these people out here. But their focus was not on God. Their focus wasn't on the size of God. Their focus was on the size of man created by God. Though these men were very tall. Goliath, I think he was 9 foot and whatever it was. But nonetheless, whether it was Caleb and these people of Israel here, when they saw the sons of Anak and they focused and they said, and the sons of Anak were there. You know, and we saw giants. We were grasshoppers. And this was the thing, and they totally forgot their God who brought them out of bondage, and yet they were wanting to go back into bondage. They wanted to make a captain, a weak captain, one that was a frail captain. For them to choose a captain to go back into Egypt, it was not going to be a Caleb, and it was not going to be a Joshua. This person would have had to been somebody who was frail and wanted to go back into bondage. So they forgot, and there was only half of the story. They saw the stature of these men, and they forgot how God is, how awesome he is, and the great size of God. It's immeasurable. His one step spans the universe. This is God. But they missed it. But not Caleb, not Joshua. They didn't miss it. These men were all in, if you will. They were all in. They rent their clothes, and we know that when people rent their clothes back in the day, it was a terrible thing. You know, they saw Moses and Aaron fall on their faces. This was another terrible thing, that Moses and Aaron had to fall on their faces for the murmurings and the complainings and the discontentedness of the people. And so they rent their clothes. But we look at Caleb, and we see in him Caleb, but Caleb stilled the people. He saw, he was probably looking around. Well, we don't know the situation. It doesn't get into much detail there. But they said, here's the fruit of it. They were flaunting the fruit of it. They were flaunting that there were two boar, this cluster of grapes, and they were flaunting all of this stuff. But then it started to turn to negative. The story went way off when they started to bring the bad report before the people. So Caleb, the man that he was, a man who had a different spirit, as it records, he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." He didn't want to. He saw that there was something going on here, and that the people were stirred to negativity, and he saw that the people were stirred to fear and anxiety at the evil report of these men that went with them, the other 10. He said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." There wasn't even a dab of doubt in this man's mind. He was so focused on God because he had a different spirit. And we're called, brothers and sisters and friends, to have a different spirit. We're called to have something different than the what we see out in the world. Men's hearts failing them for fear of what's coming. We have Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. These are the things that we have, and we don't want to allow news, and we don't want to allow obstacles to cause us to lose the focus. This is the main idea, is to lose focus. Because Caleb didn't lose the focus, and he was ready at that time, and he was ready to go now, and he was calling to be a leader, and he was going to lead by example. But the people dragged, the negativity dragged, and they were suffering from anxiety, and they were suffering from being overcome by fear of not keeping their focus on their God. "For we are well able to overcome them. But the men that went up with them said, 'We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' Again, they saw the pillar of the cloud. They saw the pillar of fire. They went through dry land of a sea. And still, they couldn't see it. Can obstacles do that to us, brothers and sisters and friends? Friends, those who are on the outside of the fold of Christ, if there are some here, whoever. Do you let and allow fear to be the thing that holds you back? I was a doubter when I was converting. I struggled with that. And it prolonged things. Don't allow the devil to manipulate your mind to think that God isn't strong enough to save you, or that you have some sin greater than he can forgive, or whatever it is. Whatever it is. God is faithful, and he is just, and he's willing, and he's able, and he wants to provide that if we picture the hurdles and there's an obstacle there, and those men, they run and they've been practicing and they're just like right over top of those things. I'd be going around for sure. But they go right over top of them because they've been practicing. They understand what has to be done, and they've made provision to exercise themselves enough to be able to finish those kind of things. And so we, if we're also in that communion with God, and if we also are dedicated to prayer, and if we are also focusing on this word, which is our food and our sustenance, then we also would be able to conquer and to overcome obstacles as they come. And it don't come overnight. For sure. I had to be told that this is between you and God, Sam. The ministering brother, I struggle. I wanted to go forward. So bad. I knew at the age of 19 or whatever it was, I had been out there a good chunk of life, but when I came into the faith and around the people of faith, there was something there that I just wanted. There was something there, though I was struggling with the devil and he was trying to pull and doubt was there and all these things. I just wanted to stay with this for the rest of my life. But that brother said, this is between you and God, the minister. And so we have to hunker down, right? We have to hunker down with God, and we need to put all of our trust in him. We need to put all of our confidence in him. We can't, there's no room for doubting and things like that. Because God is there, and he's able to fill all the voids of doubt. You know, like voids like a doubt, or doubts like a void, right? Wherever doubt is, there's no faith in there, if we look at it that way. So he can fill the void, right, with faith and love and tenderness and joy, and he takes us up on his lap. So this, if there's any who maybe online or wherever, if there's any who are doubting and you're struggling, God fills every void. Before baptism, before, during conversion, and after. He wants to see us through. Brothers and sisters, do you feel that? He wants to see us through. Doesn't he give the hand and bring us along? Does he do that? So we want to have the mind of Caleb. This is a hero to me. He's a hero. He remembered the promises that God had promised him, that you were going to have the place that your feet had trod. And we can read that over here in Joshua. He was recording and bringing to remembrance. He was bringing to remembrance to Joshua. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto them, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. They took a kid or a lamb, and he says, and I went after them, and I grabbed him by the beard, and I slew the bear and the lion, was the record that he said to Saul. Because he's out there listening to the discourse, and he's listening to what will happen about the person's family will be free in Israel and the gift of the daughter and so on and so forth. But he's considering, it says, while he was listening that the giant came out. And he was watching, and he's looking at the situation. He's looking at the cause, as he said. He says, is there not a cause here? When somebody was, I don't know what his older brother was feeling. Was he maybe feeling, I don't know what his feeling was. But he says, you come out here and you're naughty or whatever it was he said. But he comes out and he says, is there not a cause here? He went out to deliver goods to his brothers and to see how they're faring. They weren't faring well. They had issues. They took their focus off of God again. And he comes and he looks at the situation. He goes out against this giant and he slays the giant with a stone. He knew the battle wasn't his. It says, and then David said to the Philistine, because the Philistine says, this and this and this is going to happen. And then David says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This was David's mind. He was all in. He was another man who was all in. He was another man who had been practicing. He was another man who had seen victory over obstacles. He was another man whom the Lord helped, and who had that, it's a special note in the Bible about him too, that he had that special relationship with God. And he's called us, brother and sister and friend, to each and every one of us have that special relationship, that we have a different spirit, and we could be regenerated. We don't have to be the old whoever we are. We could be new creatures in Christ. We can have this power to overcome obstacles. We have a miraculous God. And any who are not a brother or sister in Christ and who have not made a commitment, who have not converted, come unto the Lord. His arms are open. They're wide open for you. And the help and the power and the strength to get through every doubt and every fear and any anxiety and whatever it is are banished if you give in and understand that it's between you and God. If you would give yourself and be all in, God will provide for all these things. And He provided. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And that's exactly what happened. He took the one stone. He went out to the battle. He couldn't wear the armor that Saul tried to give him. He said, you're going to surely need this out there. He said, I haven't proved it. Something's funny here. He knew what he needed. He knew what he needed to go out. He checked the situation out. He knew that this was an offense, first of all, for somebody to talk like that against God, his maker and creator, who he had sweet fellowship with him. Just read the Psalms. You see a psalms of praise and of worship and of thankfulness and of victory, of repentance. This is part of our life too, brother and sister and friend, is repentance. But that is not something that draws us from God. It only brings us closer as repentance. So we need to have that perpetual thing going on in our life as well. Friends, this would be something you'll need to get used to. Because it's not a one-timer. It's a perpetual thing, repentance. But it's a cleanser. It's something that keeps us nigh unto our God, to prepare us. So he understood, and he was troubled with the armor, that this man-made stuff. He just knew that he needed the same thing that he had when he was out against the bear and out against the lion. This was the armament that he needed. So he took that with him. And we all know this is a world-renowned account of that one stone that he took, and the song goes, and he spun it, and let her go. And we know it sailed by the mighty power of God, and it sunk in that giant's forehead, and the obstacle was removed. And then the war began. Yeah, the war began. Then they started chasing him, and then the enemies were being slain because of a young, ruddy. You know, it appears that Goliath was like, "Who are you going to send? You're coming out to me?" And he was the one who won the battle because the focus was there, you know. And for us, the same thing. Another one of those on the Mark and Laurie cassette was, Jesus never fails. What's the other line? You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. Is that a common thing in our life, brothers and sisters? Just get thee behind me, Satan. You know, there's an obstacle there. The other side of the story, I mentioned that at the beginning. I didn't touch on it anymore. The other side of the story is that the devil's over there doing all this cooking. Okay, he's the one sowing all this doubt. And, you know, whether it's in a relationship between a husband and wife, we prayed about marriages in the prayer meeting this morning. You know, the other side of the story is that the devil is working in the background, right? You know, we deal not with just flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and all these things are going on. So there's a spiritual battle over here too, right? So and these are the things that we don't see. So that's why we want to be in God's word, and we want to be in prayer, and we want to, you know, be in that spiritual tie, so that when these things come, we hang on a second here, and we stop. We look at this situation. We consider the other half of the story. Half of this story is, here he is. He's causing trouble over here, the devil already. Okay, and then the other half is, or well, probably more than half, is God's there, and he's ready to intervene. And he's ready to help if we will humble ourselves. If we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, as it says, and he will in due time he will take care of everything for us. So. Jesus never changes. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. That was Caleb's, Joshua's. There was so many carcasses the poor Israelites had to fall out in the wilderness because of their doubt and their failure to have enough faith. He cannot prevail. He can't. The gates of hell, Jesus Christ said, will not prevail against my church. And if we are in a close union with our Maker and Creator, with His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, if we're in the Spirit, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He cannot prevail. Now, there's also a part that we need to be ready for as well. And we can just recall the words of Esther. What was her words? When her uncle put the pressure on, he says, "Don't think that you aren't here for such a time as this." He put the pressure on. I think deliverance is going to come from somewhere else if you don't step up. So we're called to step up. But she also understood, and she says, "If I perish, I perish." So sometimes when we stand up, and we are fighting God's battles, and when we're so close to our God, you know, Stephen, our brother, in Acts, that tie with God was inseparable. He had the glorious joyful thing that kept him going, being able to look up into the heavens. And to see him standing there. In his glory, looking down. As every stone struck Stephen, the glory was redounding and going back unto God, right? It was going back, just so this is what the Lord laid on my heart, brothers and sisters, and friends who have not made a commitment. There's a God to be served who he'll just bring you through. He will just bring you through if you give yourself to him. If you give him your all. If you're all in. He'll bring it right through. I pray that all of us would be encouraged, and that God would help us all to that a stronger commitment and to remember these faithful ones of old who didn't look around at the Anakims, and they didn't look around at the Goliaths, and they didn't look around at whoever was throwing stones. Their focus was on God. They were all in. And that's what we're called to. We give ourselves unto him, and he will take care of the rest. We just submit, he'll take care of the rest. May God be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.